Father, we thank you again tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the joy of the Lord. Amen. That is really our strength. Really, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for being the midst of us, Lord. Thank you for inhabiting our praises, Lord. Thank you for making it possible for us to gather here again. Blessed be the name, O Lord. Now, this few minutes we want to take to read your word tonight, Lord. Bless us as we always do. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Today, O Father, be all the glory. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Tonight, we are going to continue our study, that fallen archangel. How many of them are called archangel? But, this one that covered the throne initially, and the four thereof, and so on. We went through his four, and we are going through the different phases, and so on. The more we understand these things, in fact, our faith will just be going to the roof every day. You know that it is defeated, that it is a defeated foe. and it's also a lot of problem for the saints who have understanding, of how defeated this foe is. So the other time we talk about him, about man, the man kind of something that, Tonight, talk about Satan, the usurper, and the God of this world. That will not be forever, Satan. In Revelation 12:12, it's written that that your time is short, right? Tonight, Satan, the usurper, and the God of this world. So, like I said in our previous, reading of this, of studying these things, we have followed Satan's plan of action against the human race. We have seen how, through temptation, he seeks to seduce man and to pervert his nature morally. We have also taken note of Satan's warfare on earth. So all this is evidence that the devil is exerting a unique power against mankind, without any doubt, This leads us to take note of an even more solemn circumstances revealed in the scriptures. What is that? Namely, that Satan, through the treachery of Adam, has been able to usurp man's authority over the earth itself. That is even a more serious thing, Through the treachery of Adam, he has been able to usurp man's authority over the earth itself. And in so doing, what happened? The devil has become, in fact, the very God of this world, as far as the scripture has said. The Lord Jesus, in referring to Satan, called him the prince of this world. And we can get two scriptures from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ. One is in John chapter 12, the 31st verse. And the Bible said, the Lord said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. You see, the fact that the prince of this world, that's one scripture in India. Also in John 14, the 38th verse, the Lord said, hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Talking about him tonight, that he is the usurper and the God of this world. And we got this word from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ right there. In the epistles, we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, as may the God of this world, which is our subject tonight, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, I love that, the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, to shine unto them. So the usurper and the God of this world. Now, what is the implication of all these scriptures, brethren? As well as many others I can't get to tonight, is that Satan, during this age, largely dominates the affairs of our planet. Period. That really means, according to this scripture and many, many others, it's a regrettable thing that it happened, but not, but it all happened in the foreknowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and of God. See? So, what is the explanation there for the rights of men, like Adolf Hitler, for example? We studied that one many times here. Or even Stalin of Russia, what is the explanation for their rights? Who committed such monstrous crimes against humanity, even their own people and something like that, What, how can we accept for the fact that Satan controlled this nation? That's the only thing we can explain it, He was a murderer from the beginning, right? So when Stalin rose up, killed millions of his own people and something like that, So how can it be? But at the time, it's God of this world as well as that, Now let us now move forward to night and Satan in his role as the God of this world, we're going to many phases of it, and in various ways he has usurped the prerogatives of the Creator. So we'll go as soon as we can. Number one, what he does in this thing. One, Satan usurps dominion of this world. Bible tells us so. The fact of Satan's usurpation of the dominion over the world is clearly shown in the incident of the temptation of the Lord Jesus. And when the devil tempted him in the Lord, he took him up into a high mountain, the Bible tells us, and showed him the kingdom of this world. He made a curious and indeed remarkable statement. The devil says so in Luke chapter 4, verse 6. That was said to the Lord, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, he said, and to whosoever I will, I will give it. We are showing that they're going to say about seven of this usurpation of the devil and some of that, And the first one is that he saw dominion of this world. Right there before the face of the Lord, he made that statement. Well, while it is true that the devil is a liar, and we all know that father of lies too, nevertheless, the purpose of his lies, we have learned over time, is to deceive. And it is evident that the devil must have been telling the truth to the Lord Jesus in this temptation, particular one, when he claimed that the kingdoms of this world had been delivered unto him. And the Lord certainly would have known if he was telling lies. The Lord knows all things, right? Yes. So in this case, he must be telling the truth, right? And if the Lord knows that if it's not true, then it will be a temptation to the Lord, right? If it is false as the God of this world, and that just have this kingdom and so on, God would have known it, right? There should be a temptation. So truly, the God of this world for a while. See? So we know that. We know, of course, the dominion over this world originally was given to man, to Adam. We know that. It's an usurper, right? Tonight, the usurper and then the God of this world, We know the dominion over the earth was, first of all, given to man, which is Adam. The father, Satan, at the present time, has control over the kingdoms of this world. Does not mean that God gave that control to him in the beginning. Not at all. We know the scripture quite all right. The truth is that God originally deputed, meaning delegated, the dominion of the earth to Adam. We all know the scripture in Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion right there over all the earth. The original dominion over the earth was given to man, 28th verse says, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. That God never gave that dominion to Satan anytime. It's an usurper, And Adam, therefore, did what? Obtained his authority directly from God. As I just read in that part of scripture. And the heart was said, he's to rule, as God gave him permission. He did many things, name all the animals and all these kind of things the heart was his to rule. Anyway, not just by his own way, in harmony, of course, with the divine will of God, with the revealed will of God. Well, what happened to sin, when he sinned, the sin of Adam, therefore, was the sign of high treason, actually. The sign of high treason. He in effect turned his legal dominion over to Satan, as he himself confessed in Lucifer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where I read in Luke chapter 4. Adam committed this transgression in the lack of knowledge. He knew what he was doing, actually. The Bible says so. 1 Timothy 2:14 says so. Adam was not deceived at all. But the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. So he knew what he was doing. Adam, in a sense, therefore, became a traitor in relinquishing his dominion to God's great adversary and enemy, meaning the devil. Adam had a legal right to do that. He could. I mean, he had a legal right to do it, but he was morally wrong to have done that anyway. But that is legal to do, and he did it. So that one usurper, you know, that he did, is an usurper, and the god of this world for now, you know. Number two, Satan's usurpation of the kingdoms of this world. And assuming dominion over the world, we find Satan taking over the kingdoms of the earth also. And the fact is, generally, this fact I'm talking about, many historians or common people don't recognize this fact, that this fallen being taking over the kingdom of this earth. In fact, you know, it is a popular thing with many people populace in this world to deny the very existence of the devil. There's no devil, you know. So I know that, you know. And what happened by that particular statement and by what many people believe, what happened? To Satan, it is significant because it doesn't change anything anyway. And it makes it easier for him to carry out his diabolical plan. Where people are ignorant, like, so then that's why it takes many people, advantage of them, you know. So that's what is happening. There are many people that say there's no devil and so on. And we attribute all his work to God. Why did God allow that? Why is God doing that and that, you know? They were deceived, right? So anyway, by their ignorance, they make it easier for the devil to carry out his diabolical schemes. In maintaining his grip on the kingdoms of this world, the devil has a highly organized, though invisible, but nevertheless, real kingdom of his own. See? He does. When men and nations rise up, see, nations are fighting nations, right? This one rises against this one, and the Lord predestined nation rises up against nation and so on, you know, and they are doing that and so on. So, why men and nations rise up and war against each other? The devil holds a strong hand on his own, really, on his own domain, requiring each of his emissaries to fulfill the task assigned to him. And no personal rivalry are tolerated. When they bind together, they oppress humanity, as you know. They are unique, you are all these demons, you are in their assignment, you know. So we know that. So, and you know, so we read in Luke 11, the 17th verse, and what the Lord said about this. He said, but he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house failed. Here in this, they are saying, oh, he scattered them by the hand of Beelzebub. That's why the Lord is saying this thing, to see how united is the kingdom of the devil is. You know, now put it to their face. You know, so, and then in verse 18, if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? See, so we are saying how organized, though it may be invisible, the kingdom of the devil is, and things like that, you know. So, and why people are warning humanity, warning against each other, nation against nation, but it's coercive. It's forces as agents, they are coercive in fighting humanity and the plan of God. And the Lord make it known to us right here. As can be seen from this scripture above that I just read, the subjects of Satan's kingdom are banded together in common cause against the kingdom of God. Even they have to be praying for the church that they be in unity. Look at demons, how united they are, you know. It's not really frustrating, you know. They have to be praying that they may be one, you know. And look at the demon, Satan, you know. I don't know that, you know. Anyway, each demon in the devil's kingdom carries out his part in the total war against mortals, through deceiving and deluding. That's the only way it works. Anyway, lying and deceiving. That's the only power he has. He can deceive people, you know, and then he got them, you know, and they have to warn the church, really. Say, you know, it's impossible that deceive the very elect, you know. So the Antichrist at the end of time, what it's going to be is true deception, you know. Deluding them by physically incapacitating people, or even taking their life, you know, before their time. He does it to the people of God, and especially, you know, that's why the Bible tells us at one time, he used to have the power of death. That is in Hebrews 2:14. I can't go there right now. So, we must give this devil his due. That's what I'm... Yeah, he doesn't have all power, but we must give him his due. He's a shrewd strategist, really, you know. In prosecuting his rebellion against God, he concentrates his forces on objectives which he considers strategically important. So he's shrewd in that sense, you know. What am I talking about now? This will explain to us why so many of the most consecrated saints of God at times go through bitter experiences, either persecution and trial. Satan targeted the people, the most valuable, God's instruments, you know. That's why we have to really watch and pray all the time that the Lord did, you know, all the time, you know, not to fall into that snare. You know what he's doing? He targets the most valuable, you know, of the saints. I know that, you know. And they say the birds pick at the best flowers, right? That's what he said, you know, in the world. That the devil does the same thing to God's people, you know. Usually, they do not realize that Satan, when you are tested and tried, we don't want to know that Satan has even honored you, you know. By attacking you, really, you know, and God will always bring you out as you keep your eye on the Lord and rebuke him. Sometimes we just put our hands, you know. Don't always forget, there is no one thing that God will do at the devil again. He's finished with him already, you know. We always say here, in the Revelation series, take an angel to put him in the bottomless pit. Not even God himself, you know, just an angel put him in the bottomless pit. That's how little he has become. That's how fallen he has been, you know. So usually, they don't know that even in attacking you, it means you are valuable to God, amen? That's serious, you know? That's why they're attacking you. Those who don't mean anything, who don't know their life, they're already in his hands, right? So anyway, so the enemy, however, is wise in this way. Enough to perceive who it is that seriously threatens his interest. That is who he attacks, you know? So when we know this strategy, then our faith, I believe God will just, you know, begin to increase daily, exceedingly, as the scripture says. You know, this enemy has been defeated. That's what we are talking. That's why we are exposing him by the grace of God, by the word of God and by the Holy Spirit. Number three, Satan usurps the worship of God. He's an usurper, and also the God of this world. Let's take about it a little bit. When Satan tempted the Lord, we pick it from the temptation again, you know. He usurped the kingdoms of the world, right? He usurps the worship of God too. Again, we can see the temptations of the Lord that he brought to the Lord. When Satan tempted the Lord, he made a bid for his worship. The Lord, of course, rejected the offer, of course, and he did. Indignantly rebuked the devil, for his blasphemous suggestion. To a large degree, however, well, that is the law. It should be our example, right? We should resist him too, as well as, you know, by the word of God. To a large extent, however, Satan has secured the worship of the human race. I'm talking about the usurpation of worship of God right now. To a large extent, yes, he does. Let's look at it. Look at things they call religion. Hinduism, Buddhism, Tibetism, Islam. These are religions, right? You know, how Satan has usurped the worship of God. You know, this so-called religion. Thank God, Christianity is not a religion. Amen?
Amen.
It is the Almighty God taking possession of his redeemed. Praise God. That was Christianity, not a religion. Not a religion, you know. So, that's the name of the Lord. So, you see all this religion in India. These are examples of the witting, meaning deliberate, or unwitting, meaning indeliberate worship of devils. All these religions together. You see? So, hidden worship as a whole, it's a direct worship of demons, nothing less. These are worshipping of demons, all this religion. Call it Hinduism, call it Islam, this these are direct worship of demons. Satan usurping the worship of God. See, though the people worship these idols, they know something that in general, they recognize that there is a spirit entity behind those idols. They know one way or the other, but they can't. They have no power to deliver themselves, you know, and they are bound. But there's a veil in their eyes. And that's why we are told in 1 Corinthians 10, what I'm talking about right now, you know. So 1 Corinthians 10, 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, you see that? And not to God. And I would not that he should have fellowship with devils. The scripture one is children, you know. So all these religions, don't just think about your faith value. These are direct worship of demons, not just anything like that, you know. No, nothing like that. Satan is stopping the worship of God. No. We have seen sins involving worship of evil powers existing in different parts of the world. Almost no nation is left out. Where you don't see the usurpation, you know, of the worship of God by Satan and some like by this religion and so on. Some of the most terrible and inhuman practices are performed in the name of such religions that we talk about and so on. Even children may be sacrificed or violated in these religions or thrown to the river god in some of these pagan rituals. Even back in Nigeria, when people have twins, in a part of Nigeria, when people have twins, they think it's a taboo, right? And they sacrifice them, they just kill them, you know? So we know those kind of things. That's not ordinary thing. This is usurpation of worship, that people are just worshipping demons, you know, in all kind of names in there, you know? So there are instances also where victims are whipped in other nations and so on. They are flogged. And even some are even crucified, really, you know? To do what? To satisfy the frenzy of the demons lust for blood. That demons lusting for blood, human beings blood and so on. And they worship them like that and so on, like that, you know. I used to go with my brother when I was still young, probably 7 or 8 years old, and so he was a teacher. I went to one place in Bende, they call it Sabogida Ora, and I lived then in the village, it's called Uhomora. They have this yearly terrible, I can see this, remember the image, this yearly sacrifice. If you see this, their priest, how he dresses, my goodness. I'm sorry, yeah, really? Oh my, you know. So I was in Humora for about 2 years, and I don't know, 2 years. They do it yearly. Come and see, you know, even. Anyway, so directly worshipping devils and demons, you know, that is Satan at work usurping the worship of the Almighty. So we see. Now, devil worship. Devil worship is a common thing in such lands as Tibet and Nepal. Nepal is a land between, I think, south of China, north of India. It's like India. So, and many other nations too. I just bring those two out. And from these two, from which there have come many, many documented reports of stories of priests who, through chanting and worshipping, what they call the king of hell. That's what the king of hell, they call it like that, you know. And they are able to actually materialize this diabolical form. Take Jesus and Jimmy, not just Bible story, it was reality, right? These priests of Satan, they materially present something, materialize something. People can see them visually, you know. So Satan, usurping the worship of God. How about spiritualists? Spiritualists are those people who claim they can speak to the dead, right? They don't speak to no dead. They are speaking to demons who are thinking that they're speaking to really demons, you know, not really anything. You can't bring any dead, you know, I think that, you know. Anyway, spiritualists find that they secure their most effective psychic response when they give worship to these devils. That will happen. Which unknown to them, are impersonating the dead. That is, you can't speak to the dead. They are impersonating spirits, you know, claiming to the dead, you know, and they set themselves to these demons. And not a few have entered into what practically amounts to a covenant with the devil in this spiritualism something, you know, deadly thing. God has had to worship. I think in Isaiah 47 or so, God's people are really, I don't have it here, you know, warn against this thing, you know. Even here in the US, Spiritualism has gained a strong foothold. He knows no land. He said, I'm talking about Satan, and they're usurping the kingdoms of the world and the worship of God. No land is left, you know. So that's where things are for today. Preparing the ground for the Antichrist, as we see shortly, you know. So one thing is certain. Why does he, how is he able to do this? One thing is certain. Underneath it all is this fact. Whether it is recognized or not, that man is a creature with the instinct to worship. It's beating him to worship. That's how it's made, you know. And Satan is stopping that particular attribute, you know. That's what is happening, you know, to the ungodly people. The thing is this, whether he worships God or not, he will worship something. That's man. No matter what, there's no neutral ground in this place. Either you are of God or you are worship something. Well, what I'm saying here, if it is not hidden image that they can be watching physically, then it could be the god of gold. That's a god, an idol, right? Anything, an idol, you know, could be a god of gold. You know, it could be god of popularity. It could be popular, it wants to be popular, it to be this and that and so on. And if not that, it could be god of sensuous gratification. You know, the original sin, you know, in the garden and so on. That's why it brought down big men. It broke down, if you take the yes apple, and then that man, like it was said, go get it, pass the apple around to the naked people around the world, and see if they can go put their clothes off. That original thing has brought down kings. Bible says people make themselves, men make themselves bread, the cult of sensuous running around, you know. So it happened. Demonic, indeed, you know. So we see that right there. So man is a creature of worship. So Satan has usurped that, and so we know that. Let's see another way where Satan usurped things. Satan usurps the temples of God too. See? As far as God is concerned, in the New Testament and Revelation, the temples of God are the people of God. That's nothing. He doesn't dwell in temple made with hands. The temples of God are the church of the living God, as far as the New Testament is concerned. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and are not of your own? So it is God's plan, really, that His Spirit should dwell in His people. That is the original design and what He wanted. And it happened today among His people. And we read in Ephesians 2:22, this same truth, you know. It's all about the New Testament. And we are told, talking to the Christian, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's where He lives in His people, amen. You are the temple of the living God. Praise the Lord. See? So what a joyful thing. The God of glory. I was thinking that as we are dancing here, all over the world, the network of God's people, that He lives in His people. Praise God. Satan the usurper, has He not done that also? Usurping the same thing? You know, He does it. Let's see a few examples right here. One of the most vitally important experiences of a Christian life is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Tell me another experience in your life. Could have fasted for 100 days, thank God for that. Nothing compared to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's how you know. Praise the Lord. You know, so the baptism of the Holy Ghost makes you to do other things for God, right? You know, so, and, you know, people will say, and people are normally wrong, seeing the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they want to be this way, they want to be this way, they want to be holy first. No, you can't be holy without the Holy Ghost, you know. Come as you are, amen. Praise the Lord. I don't remember ever fasting one day when I received the Holy Ghost, really. It is the grace of God, amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Not to say that you can't do that. If you have been thanking God for a while and didn't receive, now of course you can see God in any way and something like that, you know. Anyway, so that is the greatest experience, I believe, because you know, God coming to dwell in His people. Says, God proposed that His Spirit should abide you know, with the Christian forever. It is so vital that when it comes to us and it gets to us, it's going to be forever, amen. And there are many, many scriptures. One of them, I don't put them here. Is we are sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise unto the day of redemption. Amen. That's what I have here in John 14:16. This one I have. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. You are never alone as a Christian, amen. Whether you know it or not, doesn't change the fact, amen. Not knowing it or remembering it, you just cheat yourself, amen. Then you take advantage of you, right? Or me. Whether I forget it or not, you know, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I and my Father will come and take our abode in him. The first picture we know when we call to when God call us and so on. Christ, that's why Christianity is not a religion, right? The eternal God comes to take his residence in you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Nevertheless, if God is not permitted, I'm talking about the usurpation of the temple of God, right? Nevertheless, if God is not permitted to inhabit a person, what happens? Then the devil seeks to do so. It's a counterfeiter, it's a usurper, this is what happened to Judah. Anyway, when people don't permit God to come and join them, then what happens? The devil will take advantage. How about Judah? After he made the decision to betray the master, Satan entered into him. That's simple. That is in John 13:27, and it reads, and after the saw, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou dwellest, do quickly. See? So we know. See the usurpation of the temple of God. He usurp everything, counterfeiter, that way he does. The devil, of course, does not personally enter into all people like this for Judas. No, what he does is this. For the majority of people, his entry people is reserved for his army of demons. That will happen. He inhabits people by three ways demon. So, of which I'm going to talk right now in finishing all this now. I want to make this short thing about this fallen cherub. So it's usurpation of every facet of God's plan and so on. Even of humanity. So let's see now. Incidentally, it is possible for more than one demon to make its abode in a human body. And the Lord gave us many examples in the Bible. The Lord mentioned the case of the madman of Gadara, of whom I think there are 7 or 8 demons enter into that man. Let's get a version in Luke 11, I believe it is 24. And the Bible says, when the unclean spirit, that's not the man of Gadara here, but I'm just making a point that, about 7 or 8 demons can inhabit a person at a time, right? This here is one instance in Luke 11 and the Lord said 24. The Lord said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return unto my house where I came out. I always say, it's a thief, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it your house, Satan? What is your house? It's supposed to be the temple of God, right? You are an usurper, Say, go to my house from where I came out. 25 verse 8. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. See? Making 8 now. See? Like that's what I was trying to explain here. And they enter him into him and dwell there. And the Bible says, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Satan usurping the temples of God. The people that God created, they should be living in by his spirit. Well, another instance is the madman of Gadara I was talking about before in Mark chapter 5. So, without reading the whole story there, I just read verse 8. For he said unto him, come out of the man. The Lord commanded, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Talking that a man can be inhabited by more than one demon. We saw the one of the case of 8 of them, right? One at first. He went and brought 7 more wicked ones. Even here we saw a worse one, a legion. In one man. Madman of Gadara, verse 9. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. See? The usurper. Even usurping the temples of God. Usurping God's place. By dwelling in the bodies of men, the enemy is able to do what? Accomplish his purpose. You see? He can, just like God uses his people to accomplish his work, right? He counterfeits that also, he usurps that also, That is ugly there. All the things we see in the street, they think just a face value. No, these are motivated by demons. All the murder, all the drugs, and all these things. It's just Satan taking possession of people in most of the cases, usurping, the temples of God. So we see right there. So, as when Christ's spirit dwells in his people and they become like him, so, and bearing the fruit of the Spirit, John 15 tells us all those kind of things. And when demon spirits dwell within a person, what do? the individual's character deteriorates. That is the nature of the devil, right? The counterfeiter, rapidly. His nature coarsens, becomes, you know, coarse in nature, and it gradually takes on the character of the devil, period. That was happening all over the world, really, you know. The usurper of the temples of God. We leave that idea. Let's get one or two and then I'm going to be closer and get into the prayer session. So Satan establishing his own religions. So we see, as God of this world, Satan has established many kinds of worship. Besides the pagan religion that we all know, he has others that parade under the name of even Christian. Telling you right now, we all know it. We are all mature in the Lord. It's happening all over the world. See, each of these, have an appeal of their own. And so they are Christians and that, you know. They usually have a certain fascination to the natural man, this religion and so on, in the kingdom of Christianity. And they are not without some elements of truth in them. They don't have all the truth. And it's dangerous too. But in each case, something vital is omitted. That's how we know that. Usually, all these pseudo-Christian thing, group and so on, let's see, two things are missing. One, they will deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ common among them. Number two, they will deny the efficacy of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of these cults, you know, and they call in the name of Christianity, you know. That's how we see Satan, you know, like I said, usurping, in his own religion and things like that, you know. And so we see. And you know, many Bible scriptures speak about them. Jews speak about it in Jude 1:4. Let me quickly rush this one in Jude 1:4. Because they call in the name of Christianity, huh? So that's what I'm saying now. Apart from the idol we see physically, there are so many good called Christians and so on. And today the Bible addressed in Jude, the only one chapter that he has in verse 4. For there are certain men kept in unawares. See? Talking to Christians, all these are written to Christians, right? Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Bible always has two or three, witnesses to every truth, right? We are saying that, so we won't leave the idols alone that are physical that can be seen with the eyes. Everybody, we know that they are idols, they are worship of idols. How about who come in the name of Christianity? 2 Peter 2, 1, another instance. You know, but there were false teachers also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, talking to the Christian and warning the Christian, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Just like Jude wrote the same Holy Ghost, right? You know, writing the same thing, warning the church and so on. So as God of this world, Satan, besides establishing various forms of worship, ordains his own prophets too. He does. He anoints them. That's right. With his own spirit. And produces his own substitutes for the Bible. We have many of them today. The Quran, one of them. We suffer, you know, Quran, there's such a thing called the holy writings of the East, Tibet, and where I said before and so on, and Nepal, had the holy writings, and Quran inclusive and all that, you know. All these, of course, are wretched and worthless substitutes for the pure Christian faith. We know that. So he had his own prophets, had his own religion, and things like that, you know. The true church has before it a tremendous, we have a great task until the Lord comes, right? That's why we pray every day. That's why we have prayer meetings here and all over the world, you know, because of this. So God can bring out his people out of this course, you know, and bring about the coming of the Lord. So let's quickly look at one occasion again. Satan has his own Messiah. I'm going to be proceeding with that. Save time for prayer time. He has his own Messiah. One, Satan's practice is to counterfeit, like I said, under God's plan. As Christ is the true Messiah, so Satan must have his own false Messiah. See, and we are living in the time where this will be manifested openly, been walking underneath, you know, we are in the last days now. The Lord alludes to this when he told us in the book of John 5:43, which is a household verse for all Christians now. I am come in my Father's name, he told the Jews, my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. So the Lord, he has his own Messiah. Devil has it, and so on. He mimics Christianity, counterfeit everything that the Lord does. of this man of sin the Bible talks about, yet to be appear anytime on the world scene. Now, the scripture tells you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 through to 12, let's read that also, you know, Satan's Messiah, right? You know, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, and because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So Satan's Messiah, apparently, even as God incarnated Christ, and we have many scriptures for that, and gave him his authority, and there are many of them, Bible says God was in Christ, right? He carried the word unto himself. So even so, Satan himself, at the appointed time, will bring forth his Antichrist and give him such power and authority as will cause men to worship him. So, see, his own Messiah. The last one I want to talk about here quickly is that as God of this world, Satan exercises control of the elements. You see, he usurps everything, even by the elements. So let's finish with that. As God of this world, Satan is also the prince of the power of the air. Bible tells us that, right? What the elements? Why in no realm does Satan have absolute control? He doesn't have absolute control over anything, but he does have control over certain things, you know. Yet, he does have power over many things, all to a point, but not absolute. Only God, only the Almighty, the only the Lord has the attribute of omnipotence, in it, all powerful, not the devil, no man, no angel, no principality, only the Lord has the attribute of omnipotence. This is true in respect of his power over the elements to some extent. Satan was evidently responsible. Talk about Job, how himself and Job the other time, right? I don't know, the other two weeks ago. Satan was evidently responsible when the lightning struck Job's sheep and consumed them. So, talking about, you know, how he had some control over the elements and so on. That is in Job 1:16. That's going there. He was also responsible when the tornado or cyclonic wind came out of the wilderness and destroyed the house where Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking in Job 1:18-19, which we talked much about the other day. That Satan was the author of the destruction we talked about in Job is evident from just one verse of scripture. We're to save time. That is in Job 1, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So in finishing tonight, it is also likely, and we touched on this the other day too, likely that Satan had something to do with the storm which swept the Sea of Galilee while the Lord was in the boat and was asleep, which caused the disciples to really cry in fear. Careless, not that I will perish, you know. The Bible said the Lord arose. That is in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. The Bible said the Lord arose, and then he rebuked the winds. And the Bible said, and the sea also. And there was a great calm. What manner of man is this? That even the winds obey him. What we are saying, how can the Lord rebuke something that is inanimate? How can he rebuke something that has no intelligence, you know? So that's what we are talking about. He has some power over the elements, all the tornadoes and something like that, power, kind of power, and something like that, you know. There is some power behind those things that he did. So all these things reveal to us the extent that Satan has usurped authority over this world. Let's close with two scriptures concerning the Christian. We are in the world, we are not of the world, amen? Amen. We are just talking about God to expose sin, you know, to give us, so that we, there's no shaking our faith, we have to give authority over him. So in 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, I have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That is the devil, the god of this world, right? It's no match with the Christ who is in us, amen? Nothing to fear whatsoever. And in John, Luke 10:19, the last scripture here, Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and of scorpions, and over all, I like that, over all the power of the enemy. And nothing can the enemy hurt you. No matter what you can come up with, when we know this thing that belongs unto us, freely given unto us, then, I mean, you cannot, Bible says nothing about enemies hurt us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hid himself. Even with deceived men, as if nothing exists, so he can carry out his diabolical plans much more easily. He can't deceive the church of the living God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes and understanding what is going on in the spiritual world. This will help us in this mighty revival. Understand these things now. Then we take firm control that have been given to all the authority we have. We are told that when we resist him, even Lucifer say resist the devil, he will flee. That is the authority that God has given to all the church. Our prayer tonight, let us understand this thing, not only here, and we pray for the church of the living God. And take our place, Lord, O God. And to set many free who have been bound, who have been deceived, Lord, by this wicked fallen angel. Lord, we thank you for being with us tonight, Lord. And as we go to the prayer session now, Lord, we know, O Lord God, you are the Almighty God, the God that answers prayers. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for the many, many prayers you have answered for us, both individually in our places and here together in fellowship and the fellowship of the saints. So we go forth to this other session of the prayer meeting tonight, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Abracha.